The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Hallelujah. Turn with me now to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 14. There is a word from the Lord. Exodus chapter 14, I'm going to read verses 10 through 14. As always, I want to encourage you, please ma'am and please sir, I want to encourage you to keep your Bible open or keep your Bible app open, not only to follow along in the scripture, to be able to follow along in the cross references that the Holy Spirit gave me in support of the message. By now, you all ought to know I'm a Bible preaching pastor, amen? Amen. And for those who are already here in the sanctuary standing as we get ready for the reading of the word, I'm going to encourage those of you who are online to do the same. Remember, we do things per the word of God. You're not standing for the preacher, but we stand according to Nehemiah 8 and 5. It says that when Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, it says, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. I add that deal to where if you're physically able, but the Bible says all the people stood up. Exodus chapter 14, I'm going to read verses 10 through 14. Once more and again, I'll be reading from the Amplified Translation. I enjoy the Amplified Bible for it pulls a lot of meaning from some of the words, but I declare, regardless of what translation you have, whether King James, New King James, I know a lot of people like to read the NIV, I declare I am in the Word of God. Verses 10 through 14, it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians marching after them. And they were very frightened. So the Israelites cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What is this that you have done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Did we not say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians as slaves than to die in the wilderness. The text says in verse 13, however, says, then Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, exclamation. Take your stand, be firm and confident and undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For these Egyptians, whom you've seen today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, while you only need to keep silent and remain calm. Watch the text. Hear verse 10 again. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw Egyptians marching after them. And they were very frightened. So the Israelites cried out to the Lord. I got to help you with the subject. When you read that verse, Egyptians represent enemies. My brother and my sister, I don't know what Egyptians represent for you today. It could be sickness. It could be financial trouble. It could be family strife and turmoil. It could be people who are trying to destroy your life, your reputation, attacking your character. It could be a habit or an addiction that you haven't been able to conquer. But whatever the Egyptians represent to you, The text says the Israelites looked up and they saw the Egyptians marching after them. I'm talking to somebody who you see, when all you see right now are your enemies or those things, and they're marching after you. The text says they were frightened. It says, so the Israelites called out to the Lord. This has been a difficult year, and I know that's an understatement. We're 4 days before Thanksgiving, one of America's favorite holidays. And I know for a fact that some people are struggling with the idea of being thankful. The COVID-19 pandemic has wreaked havoc on lives and has affected everyone. As a matter of fact, like everything in 2020, this year's Thanksgiving will look different. Hosting a large group or attending a gathering at someone else's home can potentially increase your chances of getting or spreading COVID-19 or the flu. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or the CDC, says that the safest way for you and I to celebrate Thanksgiving is only celebrate with people in your own household. And that's adding to some of the disheartening of this year. I talk to people saddened because they can't visit with mama or daddy in the nursing home, a loved one in a hospital. So on this fourth Sunday of November, November the 22nd, 2020, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider this subject for today. What do you do when you've done all you can? Huh? What do you do when you've done all you can? As we get ready to hear from the Lord, while we certainly want to ask God to be on one accord, specifically we want to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So repeat that prayer that we pray every week. Repeat after me. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. What do you do when you've done all you can? My brothers and my sisters, even when we think about the passage or the question and the message, Moses actually tells us the answer to the question right here in the text. It's in verses 13 and 14. It says, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Take your stand. Be firm and confident and undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For those Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, while you only need to keep silent and remain calm." Listen, we are all in one way or another familiar with today's text, partly because many of us have been reared in church and are thus familiar with this story cycling through the Sunday school lessons or as one of the VBS stories from the Bible. Come on, somebody. But even if you're not familiar with this text from Sunday school or maybe from VBS, perhaps most of us are familiar with this passage having seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, huh? Talking about that movie which starred Charlton Heston as Moses and Yul Brynner as Rameses. Come on, y'all know I'm telling the truth. However, this passage that we're recounting here today is more than just some stuff from Hollywood. Our background opens with Moses and the children of Israel, probably an estimation of about 2 million people in strength. They're heading out of Egypt on their way to the promised land. And our text picks up with Moses and the children of Israel, free from slavery, Brother Felipe, but they're surrounded. Surrounded on the north by desert. Surrounded on the south by desert. Teach, Holy Ghost. Surrounded on the west by Pharaoh's fast approaching army. And surrounded on the east by the Red Sea. Now that picture in and of itself, my brothers and my sister, is enough to fill the heart of the strongest in faith with despair. Yet Moses gives two commands and two promises of deliverance that we can use to answer the question, what do? When you've done all you can. Now, I don't want you to miss something I just said. See, we read the Bible. Do you mind? I'm going to teach this one here. We read through the Bible and we miss some stuff. I said that when we have the question, what do you do when you've done all you can? Moses gives us two commands and two promises of deliverance. In other words, the question is, what do you do when you are surrounded by the desert of despair on the north? Surrounded by despondence, dismay, and depression on the south? Anxiety and apprehension on the east? And an enemy of your situation is fast approaching you on the west. The question is, what do you do? Well, the first command Moses tells us is, fear not. Or in other words, don't be afraid. Now, I don't know about you, but I know firsthand that this is not an easy command. I mean, like Israel, many of us are going through some stuff, and our situation, believe it or not, warrants some fear. But understand, I'm not talking reverence or awe, teach Holy Ghost. I'm talking about our situation warranting the emotion of fear. Yet the command here, Finley, is to quit fearing. In other words, the charge here is to let the peace of God rule our heart. So, what do? When you've done all you can, fear not, or don't be afraid. Now, the teaching here is that while that sounds good, it's easier said than done. But to be able to do this, this is going to require some faith. You see, Moses was able to stand firm because he did not focus on the situation. But not only did he not focus on the situation, he didn't focus on his own ability. He was able to stand because of his confidence in the Lord. He did not allow the emotions of fear to overshadow God's promise of deliverance. And you see, my brothers and my sisters, one of the great lessons that we can learn from the book of Exodus as a whole, and the message that is reiterated all throughout Scripture, is that our God is ever present. If you didn't close your Bible, I want you to turn back just a chapter. Turn back to chapter 13, and I want you to look at verses 21 and 22. Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22. It says, "The presence of the Lord was going before them by day in a pillar, a column of cloud to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they could travel day and night. He did not withdraw the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from going before the people. What this tells you and I is that ever before us, or specifically ever before them, was this physical reminder that God was present with them. As a matter of fact, verse 22 says that God did not depart from them. Then when you have time, still in the book of Exodus, read Exodus 33, verse 14. When you have time, I'll read it for you. It simply says, God says, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. You see, God was with his people then, and I've come to encourage somebody to let you know that God is still with his people today. In fact, Jesus promises over in the New Testament in Matthew 28, 20, he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Listen, there's a whole lot going on in and around the world. We have a global pandemic that experts say is spreading faster and broader than ever before. We have some people today who are pushing false conspiratorial arguments designed to prevent legal ballots from being counted and state results from being certified, all in an effort to delegitimize the election and the will of the people. But that's what's going on in the larger world. What about your world? Come on, somebody. We all got something that's going on in our world. Yet the Holy Spirit has had me to stop by here today, speaking to me first and through me to his people to tell us, to let somebody know, God does not want you or us to fear. Revelation chapter 1. 17 and 18, it said, Jesus says, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. So you want to know, what do you do when you've done all you can? The first commandment is, fear not. Don't be afraid or quit fearing. Why? Because God is always with us. The second command found in that verse is also right here in verse 13. The first one says, fear not. But the second thing Moses says is, stand still. Huh? All right. The Amplifier says, take your stand. Be firm, confident, and undismayed. Now, again, the inference here, because I'm just going to be honest. If you thought fear not or don't be afraid was hard, I mean, we got a lot going on. But then how hard is it to stand still when trouble is all around you? When trouble surrounds us, I don't know about you, but you can be awakened at night and you're walking, come on somebody, the floorboard. But yet it says to stand still. Again, the Amplifier said, take your stand, be firm, confident, and undismayed. I don't have time to go into too deep into in-depth, but remember we're in the Old Testament, the Hebrew, and the word in Hebrew here says, stay right where you are. In other words, God didn't tell you to move. You stay right here or you stay right there. God did not authorize you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God did not authorize you to quit. You stand still. Listen, you tried it your way and failed. Your way got you in trouble. So after you've done all you can, come on somebody, you just stand still. Yeah. In other words, stay in your place. Now is not the time for you to quit. So don't you dare quit. Don't worry about your situation. Don't worry about what things might look like. Yes, the grass might look greener. I'm talking to somebody. The grass might look greener on the other side, but you can't cross over the Red Sea of your situation until God says for you to move. And in this case, he didn't say move. He said stand still. In other words, I don't know who I'm talking to, and I don't know your situation, but you do whatever you need to do to stay right where you are. Because one of these old days, when the roll is called, you want to be able to say, present. Come on, somebody. You want to be able to say, I'm here and I'm accounted for. Yes, Lord, I'm right here. I'm right where you told me to be. And I'm waiting until my change comes. So after all you've done what you can, you just stand still. So look at the teaching. We've just addressed the two commands of deliverance. Fear not, stand still. So let's examine the two promises of deliverance. Now here's something, if you're taking notes, write this down. Notice that the two commands of deliverance, fear not and stand, come before the two promises of deliverance. I just said something. I'm going to say it again. Lampkin, I said, notice that the two commands of deliverance, fear not and stand, come before the two promises of deliverance. Why is that an important note for you and I to take note of? Well, it's because generally, for a whole lot of Christians, we like the promises more than the commands. Matter of fact, some of y'all, and I don't mean no harm, some of y'all done bought a book full of the promises. And it's okay to love the promises, but you can't like the promises more than the commands, because we had better attend to the precepts or the commands if we're ever going to realize the promises. Watch the promises. The first promise is that God is our deliverer. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, this is the promise of salvation, but I gotta teach this here. So here's the teaching, because if you were to closely examine this word salvation here in this text, you'll discover that in the Hebrew, the root connotation is freedom from distress. Can I teach in this house? So to move from distress to safety requires deliverance. Generally speaking, the deliverance usually comes from somewhere outside of the party being oppressed. You see, in the Old Testament, the kinds of distress, both national and individual, include enemies. It includes natural catastrophes such as plagues or famine or sickness. And so the one who brings deliverance is known as the Savior. So in the Old Testament, it was Yahweh. It was Yahweh who brought the deliverance. Thus, he is known in Psalm 68:19. It says, God, he's known as the God of our salvation. But then in the New Testament, of course, the idea of salvation primarily means forgiveness of sin, right? Teach, Holy Ghost. It means deliverance from the power of sin. It means the defeat of Satan. And although the Old Testament points in the direction of the New Testament, the majority of references to salvation in the Old Testament speak of Yahweh, or God, granting deliverance, watch this, from real enemies and out of real catastrophes, such as here in our text. So that was important for you and I to have a better understanding to paint the picture here, because it gives us a better understanding of what Moses means when he says, watch the text, stand still and see the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord. And while at some point, yeah, we do need to be saved from our sins, he's talking to some folk who are some saints who are saved, but they still got sinner problems. We still got circumstances. We still have situations. Just because you've been saved don't mean you're not going to get in and be in trouble. So we better understand that God is saying, I can still deliver you from your circumstance, from your situation. So Moses here is not talking about salvation from your sin. Remember, I said the Egyptians represent enemies. So what Moses is talking about is a deliverance from your enemies. He's talking about God delivering you from the Red Sea of your situation. So he's telling you, and he's telling me, and he's telling us, in the midst of this 2020, he's saying, stand still and see. You got to be able to see that as a wonderful promise. But that is a promise that only comes to the obedient. It's good to know that God never forsakes his own. But it's also good to know that we need to follow his lead, understanding that when we follow his lead, he'll deliver us from our problems and our situations. Listen, quit trying to fix your own problem. If you could fix it yourself, you wouldn't need God. But understand, you trying to fix it has got yourself in a fix. Amen. As believers today, we need to put our confidence in God and realize, here it gets even deeper, that God positions us right where he wants us. He positions us right where he wants us, not where we think or we want to be. Listen, the Israelites are surrounded on the north by the desert, surrounded on the south by desert, surrounded on the west by Pharaoh's fast approaching army, and surrounded on the east by the Red Sea. I can let you know that that is not where the Israelites wanted to be. As a matter of fact, if it was up to them, if they were here to tell us, they would say we would have rather had a much clearer path before us, freeing us from the pursuing Egyptians and the barrier of the sea. But see, it wasn't about them. We can't say it's not about us and it's all about God, and God's got you in a place where he wants you to be. God wanted them right where they were. Why? Somebody's asking why. I get it. I ask the same questions. Why, Lord? Why this? Why now? Why at all? But you see, God positioned them right where he wanted them to be, because he wanted them to understand and be in a place where they knew that he was their only hope. He wanted to get them in a place to where they understood that it was only he would be the one to deliver them. Because if he didn't do it, they weren't going to come out. So unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, sometimes, and I mean sometimes, I didn't say all the time, sometimes the only way that we can recognize our own inadequacy is for God to position us where we would have no hope but him. Because if we're not careful, it's possible for us to walk through this life unaware of how helpless we really are and how dependent we really need to be. I want to let everybody know today, and we might as well accept it, if we're going to follow God's direction, we're going to have to understand that God is going to position us where we have to trust him. I declare that's what he's done to us right now. Whether or not you believe God brought this virus or not, all I know is God has got us positioned right where we have got to simply trust him. Finally, the second promise here found is in verse 14. Not only is God with us, but the second promise is God, you have to allow God to fight your battle. The idea here is vengeance. Salvation is not only offensive, but it's also defensive. You see, when the opposition comes, when the enemy is on your trail, in whatever shape or form, whether person, place, or thing, whether situation or circumstance, somebody might retreat to a refuge for safety. And it's just good to know that God is our refuge and our strength. He's the very present help in the time of trouble. Our God reigns and our God is victorious. But you see, God not only delivers us from our enemies, from the Red Sea of your situation, my brothers and my sisters, his death on the cross, Jesus fought for you and he fought for me. He carried our sins on his shoulders, and through the resurrection, he won the victory. Isaiah 53:12 says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. John 16:33, Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So as I get ready to close, in the midst of everything that is going on around the world, and in the midst of everything that is going on in your world and our individual lives, the question we're asking is, what do you do when you've done all you can? In other words, what do you do when you're surrounded by the desert of despair in the north, surrounded by despondence, dismay, and depression on the south, anxiety and apprehension on the east, and an enemy of your situation is fast approaching from the west? You remember the two commands and two promises of deliverance that we must use to answer the question. The two commands: fear not, don't be afraid, quit fearing. The second one is stand still. Take your stand. Be firm and confident. Be undismayed. If you can hold on to those two commands, there are two promises that follow. God is our deliverer. and allow God to fight your battle. You may be powerless, but God is all powerful. You may be helpless, but God is a great help in the time of need. You may be fearful, but our God is fearless. You may be troubled, but God is triumphant. What do you do when you've done all you can? After you've gone through the hurt, after you've gone through the pain, after you've gone through the storm, after you've gone through the rain, prayed and cried. When there's nothing left to do, you just stand and watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just stand. To God be the glory. To God be the praise.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.